We just had a Zoom call with our potential celebrant for our wedding. Right at the time the Zoom was, we had to feed Alex. We were trying to feed ourselves and the dog was being fed. So there was like chaos. So
she clicked in and she's got a lovely little setup. She's obviously sets a bit of time aside. She has two young kids. So she obviously, the husband is like, you take care of the, I'm going to do the Zoom at 8. And then like she clicks in the meeting. And it's just like this, like a madhouse she dolls into. And we're like, sorry.
She's like, it's great. This week's episode, the last one of the series.
I know, yeah, season one.
Can't believe we've done 10 episodes.
Do you know what the mad thing is? Because when we were doing this, we put a call out to people to ask questions and they can get in touch by Instagram and by the Gmail account and all these different things that I never usually check. It got me clicking on things that I hadn't been checking on throughout the course of the series. And one of them was statistics of listenership.
Oh, yeah.
This is wild.
This is news to me now.
Yeah, we have 259 people tune in from America every week.
No way.
Yeah.
Hi, America. That's insane.
81 people in Australia. G'day. How are you today?
How you going?
How you going, mate? United Arab is 17 people. Yeah, I think we know a few people that like work over there and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out like in Canada, there's 5 people. I know one of them is Carl. I'd say he's told 4 mates, so thank you for that. The Cayman Islands, 13 people tune into this every month from the Cayman Islands. What are they doing over there other than hiding the cash? Oh, actually, if you are listening from the Cayman Islands, if we have a few bob that we need to offload. Okay.
What about in Ireland? Do we have any listeners in Ireland?
7 people.
No, what's your
3 people from Jamaica. What, go on.
Welcome to New Parents Pod. It's on the tip of my tongue what I was going to say there, but I won't.
I was going to try to do an accent. Spain, France, Bahrain.
Okay, move it along.
This is blowing my mind though, but anyway. Hello to the Philippines, all 4 of you. How many tickets do we need to sell globally to do a world tour? I would happily do this podcast for 3 people in Jamaica. We'd stay with one of them.
Yeah. Do you know that Ed Sheeran used to do that when he started out?
Couch surf.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to do a tour where before he blew up, where he basically, you'd get 2 free tickets to come see his show if he could sleep on your sofa that night.
Yeah.
So that's how we kind of made his way around the UK tour.
So myself, Kaylee and Alex will do some couch surfing.
But only, we have to be selective. In the Cayman Islands, Jamaica.
America.
Where else do you want to go? Sweden?
Philippines. I want to go to the Philippines.
Mexico. One person from Colombia.
Yeah, I don't have a desire for Mexico.
Oh, is there a Brazil? If there is, that's Essentio. Oh my God, there's nothing from Brazil. Bitch doesn't listen. She doesn't listen. We can say what we want about her now.
Okay, move it along. This week, last episode of the series, and we said we'd answer some questions.
Yeah, because
I'm going to be honest here. I thought we were going to have to make up these questions. But no, there's so many of them.
Every week we get messages from people and sometimes it's just messages of support or, you know, messages saying, oh, that story, I could really relate to it. So yeah. I got an idea that it was registering with people. So I figured when we put it out there for questions that we'd get a couple.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of got inundated.
Like, there's so many, so I've just taken a few random
ones. See how much we get through in like 20 minutes, because like, this could be
great. We don't want it just to be a Q&A.
Boring.
So the first question that I have that came in is, did you always know that Alex would be called Alex?
We didn't always know. We thought we were having a girl originally. We just both thought we were going to have a girl.
We just assumed. We just had a feeling. Even before I got pregnant, we were like, oh, little girl or whatever. But then the day we went for the 4-week scan, I came out of it and I said to you, I think this is a boy. I got such a feeling. And you did too. So then from that moment on, we were like, it's going to be a boy.
Which is weird. And when we look back on the picture we got from the 4-week scan, like we showed that to our families in all seriousness.
Like, look, you can see a little arm. You can see,
and the bless all of our families went, oh yeah.
Like his arms weren't even formed.
We're going to put that picture up on Instagram. Yeah, it's hilarious. Should. It's literally a circle. Like it's just a dot. We were like, oh, we think you can kind of make out his leg. Like, ridiculous.
So from that moment on, then we started thinking of boys' names, and like none of them. To be honest with you, we could think of a million girls' names.
We had
two
rock star girl names,
which we still have in our pocket.
We were like really happy with,
but boys' names was like a challenge.
Yeah,
and then we came across Alex, and we both really liked it.
I always thought that I'd name my kid
something crazy. Yeah,
I wanted to go wild.
Well, don't say any names in case some people use the name. But you wanted to go with something mental and I just kept going, no.
And then
I like short names.
Alex just works. And not that it's named after the Hutch, but I think when your friend names their kid your
name.
So
the hutch, just to clarify, is not the hutch as in the...
Sorry, Adam, it's Alex Hutchinson, yeah, photographer, friend of mine.
His friend, Jesus Christ.
But it just proves that he passes the sound test, because we both heard that name and thought,
yeah, we could call him that. Because you know, sometimes you're like, oh no, I have like an ex, or I have I know like one a of those, friend yeah. that was like a melt and was that name or whatever. Just to answer the question, so he wasn't, I guess he was always Alex.
There
like,
was no other.
There was no other name, so
what,
yes.
What other boys' names were we floating around? Mason?
Well, that was one of wasn't them, it? Which I still love.
What other ones were floating around?
I think that was kind of it. There was no real...
I can just remember not really even trying to think of boys' names. Like, it was like it was homework that I didn't want to do. I was like, oh, I just can't, like...
You just say no to all the ones that I would suggest.
Yeah, well...
And to a point that I said to you, I can't think of a name. I said, let's just call him Killian.
Yeah, Junior.
Yeah, but anyway, we went to Alex.
We went with Alex, and then what happened was we actually... My mum was very sick towards August, September. Mm. And we had a little bit of time privately with her before the end, and we told her the name.
Yeah.
So she was the only one who knew the name. So it became like this little secret that we had.
Yeah.
Then as we were getting closer to the due date, people were going like, oh, do you have a name? We have a name. They're like, oh, well, often you'll see the baby now and it could change. And we're like, this
we're
can't
like,
change.
It can't. We told.
I've told my mom. Like, yeah, this at this stage, it can't change. But thankfully, yeah, when he came, I didn't look at him and go, oh, he looks like a Frederick.
It's just Alex. He's always, like, since the moment... Like, since early on that he's been in my belly, he's been Alex,
yeah.
You know? So it was just like, it's Alex. Anyway, we spent too long on that question. The answer is yes, he's always been Alex. And then the next question is, when did you know each other were the one? You can answer that, Killian.
When did I know you were the one?
Yeah.
So there was the first time I knew I liked you more than just fancied you was when I was giving you a foot rub that time.
That sounds so bad.
No, do you know what I mean? I know I liked you as a person because you were in my life as a friend for years.
I know, yeah.
There was one day we were hanging out for like the day. That evening, I remember you were like complaining about your feet. Little did I realize that would be literally an ongoing thing that no amount of foot rubs would ever cure. But I just thought, oh, I'll give you a foot rub. And I am not a foot rubber. I'm not a person who gives foot rubs. But I found myself like rubbing your foot, just being like, I actually want to do this. It was weird. I was like, oh, I think I like this girl. And that was the first time I kind of knew I liked you. The time I knew I really wanted to be with you was when we were at the Chinese embassy.
Oh, yeah.
So we were going out to China for a bit of work. Deb was organizing it all. And we got to the window. We had to get our visas application in this particular day because they needed a certain amount of days to get it back. And we were flying and all this crack. We get to the window after queuing up. And your one just goes, where's your accommodation booked? And we hadn't booked the accommodation yet because we were still waiting for the agent was going to be sorting that out. And she's like, well, I can't give you the visa without accommodation. We don't know where you're staying. And in that moment, I just saw how other people might panic and go, like, literally, we have 1 hour before this hatch closes. We don't get our visas. Therefore, we're not on our flights. We're not going to China. This whole thing is off. And you just went, okay. And we went up to Bewley's up the road. You went straight on booking.com. You found 10 hotels in 10 different places we were going to that all had free cancellation. Booked them all, printed them off. Back down within 45 minutes, queued up again. There you go, there's our accommodation. Yeah, grand. Stamp, stamp, stamp. Got it all done. As soon as we got the visa, cancelled all the hotels and then rebooked them with the agent as we were going to in the first place. And it was just seeing how you adapted in the moment, didn't freak out, didn't go like, oh my God, it's all ruined, it's over, oh my God, what? And like, get caught up in the stress of how it's a disaster. You just approach it like, what's the solution?
Yeah.
We don't have time to dwell on the fact that it is a disaster. What's the solution? And the fact that you were so driven towards that logic, I was like, oh my God, she's like no other girl I've ever known. And it was, that was a moment that I was like, if I was to go with this girl, it would be a partnership as opposed to me feeling like I'm
doing everything.
And that's no shade on exes of mine. I maybe, yeah, I'm going to get cancelled. Maybe on some level, I didn't allow them be the equal. And I don't mean that, I'm not misogynistic, but like, I would have put that pressure on myself.
Yeah, where I'm like total opposite. I'm not comfortable with everything being paid for. I'm not comfortable not paying my way, or I'm very independent. So do I answer this one?
Yeah, when was the point that you knew that I was the one? I can answer it for you. I guess you always knew. I think you were probably 15, 16, turned on the telly, saw Fair City, saw this hunk on the screen and thought, wow.
No, I didn't even someday, I didn't even watch Fair City. I didn't even know
if
you.
If I play my cards right, someday I can woo this guy.
No. To be honest with you, we found out later on that we were had been in loads of places at the same time, but we never knew each other, bumped into
back,
each other.
Back at that famous party.
Party, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I actually have a photograph of me and my friend in the background is Paul Copeland, which is like your best mate.
Yeah.
Which you would have been there with him. So like, there's loads of opportunities that we could have met throughout the years, but we didn't. But yeah, anyway, just answer the question. How did I know that you were the one? I don't know like the exact moment, but I definitely knew you were somebody that I wanted to be around forever, if that makes sense. The more I got to know you, the more I wanted to be around you, the more I felt like this person needed to be in my life. I didn't know at what capacity you'd be in my life, but I had to have you in my life. And I guess that's kind of, that evolved into knowing that you were the one.
Thanks.
So the next question is, what has surprised you the most since becoming parents? And love the podcast, come back ASAP. So what has surprised you the most since becoming a parent?
The sleep deprivation.
Yeah. Well, that didn't surprise me.
No, people talked about it. Oh, man, you'll never sleep again. Oh, it's a tiredness like you've never known. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That surprised me with you. Yeah. You actually aren't great at functioning without a certain number of hours sleep, where I can actually function without sleep. Like, I could get a couple of hours and still go through the day or whatever.
I didn't realize this because I would often be, let's say, away on a project, and I could do 2 or 3 nights of 4 hours sleep. Fine, that's grand. On reflection, I do come back, then I'll crash for a day or whatever. Mm. It's the prolonged lack of sleep that has caught up with me and has made my brain mush. Really, like, I used to be able to do, I could do a 20-hour day work and get a couple of hours sleep, get up, and then do it all again. I could do that for a couple of days in a row, not a bother. That's why I thought coming into this, like, I'm used to doing long days. A 16-hour work day for me is the norm. I'm used to these long days, lack of sleep. I'm used to all of this. So I thought I'd be really capable and really well able to do this, excuse the pun, in my sleep. But it turns out I can't.
Yeah, you're not great without the sleep.
I'm not. I really haven't.
I guess for me, what surprised me the most is how capable I have been. I think I've been hugely capable. I guess coming into it, I was just like, God, I don't know, like, if I'm going to manage this. So I surprised myself at how capable I have been.
It's great to see you as well. It's great to see you just taken to this whole role so incredibly well. It's admirable. It really is.
Oh, thanks, babe.
It is. I look at you in a whole new light.
Thank you. That's sweet.
I mean, you could say the same about me if you want. This would have been a nice episode. There was a moment there.
Same, babe.
There was
same.
A moment there of just pure silence where it
so
would have been lovely.
So you're only giving a compliment to get a compliment.
No, I'm just saying. if you had felt like you wanted
it's
to.
Like, it's like when I used to say to you, love you, and you go, thanks. You're supposed to say I love you back.
Well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Next question then is, do you feel your relationship has changed since becoming parents? And this person said, I know mine has, I have less patience. So do you think our relationship has changed?
Yeah, I think because we're still in the thick of night feeds and everything else, our romantic relationship has ceased to exist.
Basically, can you say there's no sex here? Absolutely. No, like, that's literally what you've just verbalized over this podcast.
The other day I was emptying the dishwasher and you brushed off me and I was like, oh, nearly. It was about as close as we've gotten. It's just because you're exhausted, and it's not that you don't love the person or you're not attracted to the person or anything like that. It's just, you could have a Ferrari in the front driveway, but if there's no petrol to drive it, it's just sitting there. Do you know what I mean? There's just no fuel in the tank.
Oh my God, stop talking.
I thought that was an eloquent way of putting it.
But I guess, like, in terms of our relationship, take that the romantic side of it out of the equation, our, like, everyday relationship. Do you think that's changed?
I think it's made us stronger. I think it's made me love you more in a new light. I think I'm seeing you in a different role, and it's making me fall in love with you in a new way, in a different way than I couldn't have loved you like this before, because I didn't see you in this role.
Mm.
And seeing you now as a mother to our kid it's making me think, you know what? I'm going to stick around. Do you know what I mean, though?
God. Well, Jesus, thank God you've decided to stick around.
It's just saying, like, it's made me think, yeah, you know, I'm in. I'm okay.
You're such
all
a
right.
way with words.
Let's do this then. Yeah.
You're lucky I'm not sensitive. Fucking hell.
But yeah, no, it is because we're getting married this year. And there's all
of that.
Because
he's sticking around, guys. Well,
that's it, yeah. The decision has been made. But it is. It's that whole thing of like, you know what? Yeah, this, I can see this. I don't have any, as we sit here now, voices or thoughts in my head of thinking,
shit, what have I let myself in
for? She's a bit of a melt, or she's this, or she's that. I feel very much like it's a partnership, and I feel like I'm not left doing all the work, even though, you know, I'm the only one that does the bins. But apart from that, I feel like there's a real sense of sharing the responsibility of everything. And that falls right from finances through to the responsibility of feeding. And now that I'm back in work and you're allowing me that time to be back in work, it has further made me gush over you when people ask, how's Debbie doing? And then I can just see the instant regret because I'm like, she's just amazing. I just can't believe it. I mean, Debbie's great.
Thanks.
So yeah, I do think you're great.
Thanks. I think you're great too.
Thank you.
You're a great dad.
Thanks.
I love watching you be a dad to Alex.
Except when I'm not holding him right. Yeah. Or when he's moochy a bit and you love watching
me prefer. Do you know what my new favourite thing is since we've become parents? Is like having conversation through Alex.
Oh, passive aggressive.
Yeah, it's like my favourite.
Well, Alex, do you think your mom might do this?
Or I'd go, isn't your dad awful silly for holding you that way? Or wouldn't you think your dad would change your nappy? Dad's going to give you a bath now, isn't he, Dad?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my new favourite thing in a relationship. But I suppose just to reel it back to the question is that like we definitely have to put in a bit more of an effort in our relationship as in a you and me relationship. So yeah. Making sure that we still have good communication, good conversations, which has been tough because in this process, we're only 6 weeks into becoming parents and trying to articulate what you're trying to say can be quite difficult. I'm still recovering. I'm still like, there's still a lot of hormones going on within me.
But here, even the sorry to cut you off, but the, were you finished talking?
No, but go ahead.
No, go again. We're going to go on to this perfect example to show how we communicate now. Deborah, finish your thought.
I forget what it's going to say now.
So last night when you asked me what was, you're like, what is the one thing I do that annoys you? I've been carrying this for about a week, right, internally. And I just thought to myself, do you know what, Kill?
Oh, yeah.
This is something that's small enough that you can just take on as just another one of the little jobs you do around the house that she doesn't need to know needs to get done all the time. You just do it in the background. She doesn't even realize. And that is refill the Tommy Tippy machine, the little bottle maker. I'm like the only one who refills it. And then last night, she was like, is there anything I do? I'm like, no. She was pushing me and pushing me. As lads, you know what they're like. Won't leave a drop. There has to be something. There's no way you don't think something. So then I'm like digging down. Like, what could it be? What could it be? What could it be? And then I was like, actually, yeah, you know what? Look, it's only one thing. And I'm not looking for you to change. I've accepted that this is the job that I've taken on the job. It's just that I feel like I'm literally the only one who's ever replenished the Tommy Tippy thing. And you were like, I'm literally doing that all day, every day. And then we realised that it just takes a lot of water.
Well, if you hadn't have said that, you would have gone on going like, eventually that would have been like, for God's sake, can you not just put a drop of water in this thing? Which I literally do all of the time.
But you didn't also, because I thought you mightn't do it, is based on
that day.
The child was about 3 weeks old when you realised you needed to put water into the sterilizer. She's been sterilizing bottles with a sterilizer with no water.
No, to be fair, you'd been doing a majority of the sterilizers. This is time I went and did it and you said, did you put water in it? And I was like,
I'd lifted the lid off and there was no condensation or steam or anything on any of the bottles. And I was like, well, that's bizarre. That could only happen if there was no water to be steamed through. So I was like, Deb, you put water in this, didn't you? And you're like, well, where does it go? I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a...
Yeah, let's re-sterilize them. So that's why I was like, well, obviously she just doesn't think things take water.
So to circle back to the question that was asked about our relationship.
Has it changed?
Yes.
Yeah.
But for the better.
Yeah. But yeah, absolutely not for the worse. It's changed in some aspects. We have lost a little bit of that carefree, just you and me.
Mm-hmm. We now have to work on that in terms of we now have to make sure we slot in time for you and me, just you and me.
Yeah.
So
when I say that bit of our relationship is lost, we'll get some of it back, but there is a portion that was dedicated to just you and me, which is now forever gone, but it has been replaced by something very different and something that is equally as special.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. So then
I'm talking about the baby, by the way.
I know what you're talking.
Sorry, I didn't know if you were. just to clarify.
Best things or gifts you bought or has been bought for you that you think are must-haves. Can I answer this one?
Yeah, well, you've...
So the Tommy Tippy L.
Done a lot of the talking.
Tippy L. So there's two versions of the L.
Don't get the little one.
No, the little one... Well, no, the little one's good for travelling, putting in the buggy and stuff like that. But the big one has all the stuff on it. So there's different lullabies, different sounds, different lights. It's like a must-have. I think it's a great gift to give to somebody. We got it as a gift.
It's like 35 quid?
Yeah, and we got it as a gift. And I think it's one of the best gifts we got.
Thanks, Steve and Jill.
Yeah. The next thing then is the rocket, which we bought ourselves.
So this attaches onto the side of your buggy or pram when you're just sitting there at lunch or whatever.
It attaches onto anything, like your Moses basket, anything.
And it just... shakes it doesn't vibrate,
it kind of
shakes.
Yeah,
it's mad. It's like there's a big ball bearing in it, so it does give a good rock. I mean, he loves it, sends him straight off to sleep.
And the other thing that we got as a gift was the hand warmers for the buggy.
Oh, Paul and Laura, they were
amazing. Geez,
so these are like fur lined mittens that are attached constantly to the handlebars.
Yeah, you can remove them as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you would no reason for ever take them off because...
Well, in the summer.
I don't know, man. I think I'd still be rocking. But you just pop your hands into them. And I tell you why they're better than gloves. Because there is times you need to tend to the baby, put a doty back in, or whatever you need to do. Your hand is just straight out of this thing. Do what you got to do. Straight back into the warp with the fleece. Amazing show. Don't know how much they wear, but they're great.
And such a good gift as well. The other thing then is the Tommy Tippy machine for the milk.
You're making 8 bottles a day. Do yourself a favour. Now, okay, we probably do need to say the disclaimer is that the HSE don't stand over it and they won't necessarily approve of you making your bottles with the Tommy Tippy thing because they say they can't sign off on the ins and outs of it. Okay, go make your bottle the old way. We love it.
Yeah, it's just the quickness of it all. It's like, and it's filtered water, you know.
So it spits out boiling hot water on top of your powder in the bottle. You shake it up and the boiling hot water kills all the bacteria that's on the powder and inside the bottle a bit. And then it just fills it then up with cold water. But it knows the exact percentage temperature of cold to hot so that the second
they finish it up... Yeah, you type in how many ounces you've put in and stuff like that. It's very
good. Perfect temperature for the baby. It's just... Do you know what it is? See when he starts giving you those signals, hand in the mouth, starts mooching. If he doesn't get a bottle within 5 minutes, you'd know all about it. If
you have to make a bottle traditionally,
that's why all the traditional stories of like people standing around with the kids screaming, waiting for the bottle, and they're going ballistic, and then you eventually get the bottle into them. Because it would take so long to make a bottle the old way. This way it's like 2 minutes.
10 seconds, yeah.
And so the idea is before they get to that state of being irate, the bottle's in the mouth already. Again, disclaimer, you know, don't take it from us, but also take it from us.
It's a good one. It's a good one to have. Anything else that you can think of?
Let me see. We're way over time. I'm just conscious of that. What else did we get that was great? What was great in the early doors were the food packages arriving to the door.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. People were so good to us, like...
Amazing.
So definitely sending somebody food.
Is the gift that sister-in-law Kira has given us, which is just...
Yeah, she just like texts going, these are the dates that I'm free
in
the evening.
I'll come over, I'll sit for 2 or 3 hours.
You and Killian go on out. Like, she's just the best.
Because that is important for a couple of reasons. Firstly, to get you used to going out away from the baby.
Like, I'm telling you, we weren't that nice when they had... Lauren.
I feel so guilty.
I know, I feel so bad. We'll get you back. We'll get you back.
Yeah. But that is, it gives you time to be yourselves again.
Yeah.
And to go out and actually just, you know, be a couple again.
Find a spare bed somewhere and go sleep.
Yeah.
I joke. The last question then, what has been your favourite thing about seeing your partner as a parent?
My favourite thing has been seeing you be so capable. It's just solidified the sort of mother I thought you'd be.
Oh.
You know?
Thanks. Obviously, you're great.
Yeah. But just capable and not reliant on me.
Yeah.
I'm more attracted to you when I realise you don't need me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That for me is such a draw when... Is that a weird thing to
say?
No. But there's nothing less attractive than someone who's just like, need without you, I'd be nothing. Oh my God, I can't breathe without you. I can't live without you. I can't be without you. Well, then,
it's like you're not the centre of my universe, but you are you are part of it, but you're not the centre of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that for me, relationships are meant to be two people who are separately 100% complete.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And when they are together,
they just complement each other.
They complement each other. Mm-hmm. Even if they're not together, they're still 100% complete.
Yeah.
As opposed to this feeling of like, if I'm not
I
in this relationship,
a man or I need a
I'm
woman
not
or, yeah.
whole. You should be entirely whole whether you're in a relationship or not. That gives you the strength to choose to be in a relationship and not to have to be in a relationship because the fear of being single is something that is too frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing how I see you respond and react in your business and in other aspects of your life, it was lovely to now see you actually in this role of mother and nailing it. Just doing a stellar job.
Thanks so much. You're doing a great job too. One of my favourite things is that when you have Alex during the night and if I'm like meant to be asleep but I'm secretly awake listening to make sure everything's okay.
Even when I do the nights, you do the nights.
I love when you have your time with him and I can just overhear your conversations. I can overhear like the little songs you're singing him or like the little conversations you have with him. I love that. It really warms my heart. That to me is like, you're a great dad. You know, you're capable of doing all the other things. At the moment, you just need to be fed and changed and kept alive. Do you know that type of way? But those little things, like you read him a story one of the evenings, which was great.
Actually, one, God, I wouldn't mind if people could chime in on this. I wanted to read the story in a number of different accents. And Debbie said, don't, because he won't recognise the Scottish. He'd be like, who's this Scottish man reading me a bedtime story?
To be honest, it was just because I didn't want to listen to all the different accents you were doing.
Well, okay, all right.
No, I think he's too young for that. Just like read regularly and then when he's older. Like you tried to do that with Molly and you made her cry.
She got overwhelmed with emotion because I portrayed the character of Thomas the Tank Engine so very well. That's how I choose.
She's like, what is going on?
She was just like, that's beautiful. That's how I choose to perceive the tear that was in her eye as I did. Thomas the Tank Engine is a Scottish man. Choo choo. Who's that coming in the lead? It's Thomas the Tank Engine. Why are you crying, Molly?
I know, but in all seriousness, you're doing a great job. It has been lovely to watch you be a dad because I suppose up until this point, you didn't even know the kids were going to be on your radar. You're great with toddlers, but you'd never been around babies before. So there was
that
fear factor.
Didn't know what to do with them.
So I didn't know how you were going to be or like, you know, what way. But I think you've taken to it really, really well. I think each day watching you, you take to it more and more. So well done. You've done a great, you're doing a great job.
Thanks, Mel. I really feel like this episode was more for you and me than the listener.
I know. Well, we're just answering all the questions.
Yeah,
so what has been your favourite part of doing this podcast?
My favourite part of doing the podcast, yeah, I think is going to come in years when I listen back to it without the torment of knowing how hard it was to produce.
Yeah.
We've spoken for 50 odd minutes now. I've got to cut this down to like 20 minutes and take out all your sniffs. That's the hardest part about doing this podcast. Editing out all your sniffs.
People should see the behind the scenes of the podcast someday where
I was going to do a super
cut. Like, I'm like giving you the eyes. I'm like,
oh, thank God this isn't a video podcast.
I'm like, you're giving out to me every 2 minutes or telling me to speak properly into the microphone.
What about the whole episode we re-recorded because we got into a fight?
Yeah.
We had an episode that just de-escalated.
That was only recent, and literally, because we started talking about, we won't talk about it again.
We won't get into it. But yeah, we basically, we had the first 10 minutes of that episode was completely fine. And then there was a turning point. And then the next 20 minutes was, shall we just say, not fine. And then it was like, ended with like, we actually even recorded an outro and all, which was real just like,
fucking listen if you want to. Yeah. Then we both sat here in silence for like 2 minutes and I was like, that was shit. That was so shit. I feel shit after doing that. And you were like, yeah, that was crap. That was crap. And then we just sat here and you're like, well, I mean, I could try and edit it or whatever. And then we just re-recorded it.
Yeah.
And we literally got it done in 20 minutes, the re-record.
Because I think we'd recorded, it took us an hour to get what would be ultimately 20 minutes of a podcast. And I remember just being like, this is going to take me so long. It's going to probably take me 3 hours to edit this down to 20 minutes. Then you were like, we just go again. Yeah.
And it was so much better.
Got it done in 20 minutes. There was actually no edit really on that.
Yeah, and we had crack and it kind of alleviated the argument. We should like, do a live one someday.
Oh,
like as in on YouTube or something, not live on like, but just like do something on YouTube where people can see.
No, because you'll hold back the eyes and everything else and you'll do what you always do and you'll come across so lovely on camera. Like when we did the live stream stuff during lockdown, it was like,
I am lovely.
Oh, yeah. What about the time you told me my beard was too short? Or what about the other day in the car?
I'm lovely and honest.
I was driving you into work and you turned to me and went, how much hair do you have in your nostrils? And you're like leaning over the car to look up my nose and you actually said, like, can you even breathe out of that? So yeah, no, you are lovely. You are lovely.
Honest. Mm. Honestly lovely. That's what I am.
Honestly something.
You're taking back now all the kind stuff that you've said about me.
No, I still mean, in spite of you talking to me like that.
In spite of you. In spite of all of this.
I still think you're great. Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to the first 10 episodes of the New Parents Pod. It has been a journey for us.
Definitely, yeah.
It has been something that we did not expect to take off the way it took off.
It's actually been nice to take once a week to sit and have a conversation like this.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know if you would have done it otherwise.
We could very easy get caught up in the fact if you're just too tired. Because there were weeks where we were both just too tired.
Like, oh my God.
But we said to ourselves going into this that regardless of how we feel, there's going to be those days, get on the mic and record.
Yeah.
And it has been good to kind of give us this thing that we have to do. And then, to be honest, if the show didn't get the reaction it got, if we didn't have the responsibility of listeners in Jamaica tuning in every week, the new episode of the New Parents Pod down there, they're so funny, man. How do you think Killian be doing as a father?
Very good.
So if we didn't have that, I don't know if we would have still been doing it.
Yeah, definitely. If we didn't get the response, I'd say we would have probably weren't like, yeah, too tired.
Because going into this, we didn't do it expecting to get listeners or a sponsor or anything like that. I just wanted to do it because I wanted it to basically document like a diary of us adjusting from pre-parent being like, this would be grand, to literally me sitting here holding a child, trying to record episodes in between him feeding and pooping and everything that he does. So I wanted to do something just as a diary, and then it kind of struck with people, it seemed to. So that's been so lovely, and we've new friends, new people we talk to now, and even old friends who I would have known from clubbing days and days of going out on the piss, who you'd have these, you know the friends who now you'd see them in Super Value and you give them the closed mouth smile, know that those people I know I will talk to now because you've got this thing in common, which is a kid, and they might have reconnected with me through listening to this show. So that's been really nice as well. And looking forward to the world tour. We're going to be in the Cayman Islands.
The Philippines.
It's going to be a riot. Get your tickets online right now. Ticketmaster, I assume Ticketmaster are going to be promoting this, are they?
Yeah, for sure. So that's it, guys. That's the end of this series of our podcast, 10 episodes in, and we will be back shortly. I can't say when exactly. When will we be back?
How are we going to close it out?
Just say goodbye, like, we'll be back shortly.
All right, go on with yourselves.
No, you're not saying go on with yourselves.
Go on with yourselves. As I said before, and I'll say it again, if you know anyone that likes podcasts, get them to listen to this from the start, because it's not time sensitive. You can dip in from the start and get on this journey that we've had over the last 10 weeks. Yeah. And then when we are back for season 2, which I think we're going to call it, I think it's the original name. That's a good name, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so original.
Season 2 of the New Parents Pod. Previously on. We can do that again.
Yeah, we can do it previously on.
So we'll be back in the near future and hopefully bringing a new element to the podcast.
Yes. Take care and look after yourself.
Peace.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.